You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced the first confirmed cases of lung illness tied to e-cigarette use. There are 380 confirmed cases across 36 states, including two here in Idaho. Idaho officials say those patients in our state are teenagers and young adults. Six deaths have been confirmed in states that include Oregon and California. No deaths have been confirmed here in Idaho. Now, after the CDC numbers were released, President Trump tweeted that we should, quote, keep young children from vaping. Vaping has become a popular alternative to smoking cigarettes in recent years. In fact, some companies have marketed their products as the new version of a nicotine patch to help people wean themselves off smoking. But with younger generations picking up vape pens without ever having smoked, what kind of dangers come with their use? And are the concerns overblown? Joining us live in studio today to talk more about this is Patrick Weiss. He is a pulmonologist at St. Luke's here in the Treasure Valley. Thanks so much for being here.
No problem. Glad to be here.
And we want to make a quick note that St. Luke's is one of our sponsors here on Idaho Matters. So Patrick, first, let's just get some terms down, okay?
Yeah.
Because we hear things like e-cigarettes, vaping, Juul. Are they all the same thing, basically?
Yeah, so good question. First off, yeah, I am a pulmonologist, so background in internal medicine, pulmonary medicine. And so we see a lot of inhalational or infectious exposures in our line of work, and we take care of people in the ICU and then in the clinics. In the clinics, we're seeing people asthma, COPD, pulmonary fibrosis. And so sometimes things they're exposed to make their breathing worse, and we've definitely seen e-cigarettes, vaping devices make people's underlying respiratory disorders worse and also cause respiratory disorders. So some of this is nothing new. I think it's gaining attention, and we're having some more severe cases now being reported. But we've been seeing stuff both in the clinics and in the hospitals for a while. It's just now some of this, because so the prevalence of vaping is gone up so dramatically in the last 10 years, we're starting to see now, instead of just a one rare thing of, hey, what was this? Now we're seeing, hey, this person vaped or used something in a vaping device, and now they're sick in the clinic or critically ill. So the e-cigarettes, so it's not combustible. It's a electronic cartridge that then heats up and vaporizes the substance. So usually it's an oil or a liquid-based solvent that then is vaporized. So Juul is one of the producers of this. And if you look at the literature, like in the FDA, they talk about a electronic nicotine delivery system or an ENDS device, and that's how it's kind of looked at in the medical literature and in FDA and CDC reports.
And what can you tell us about these vaping-related illnesses that, excuse me, that we're seeing more of and across the country? And like we've got the two confirmed cases here in Idaho. What's going on from a physical standpoint?
Well, what I don't think we totally know, other than that it's bad. So people are dying and people are getting sick. What we do know from the CDC reports is there's been this implication of a possible lipoid pneumonia. So lipoid means lipid or fat-like. So there are some of these substances that may have oils in them that then when they're heated to high temperatures, and that's causing either an acute accumulation or a chronic accumulation in the lungs causing this. We've seen lipoid pneumonias with other things in the past where someone's exposed to some sort of lipid-like material that then develop or deposits in their lungs. It's usually a chronic ingestion in the lungs. And so for me, again, this is all new,
right?
These case reports. And we don't actually know if it's from the oils being heated up. For all we know, this is what they're seeing is inflammatory cells called lipid-laden macrophages. These are scavenging cells in our lungs that try to protect our lungs. And it may just be that our own lipids in our cell membranes are being oxidized and damaged. And so you're just seeing that debris start to accumulate in someone's lungs. They finally have an event where they tip over the edge and boom, they're on oxygen in an ICU or even on a ventilator, or now we have six deaths. So very serious.
So I'm assuming you've treated people with respiratory illness who use e-cigarettes or a similar device.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and 10 years ago, I've been in Idaho for 10 years practicing now, and e-cigarettes were kind of new at that time. And patients said, hey, I'm trying this. And we said, well, don't know. We certainly don't know the long-term consequences. And while – and the literature has been varied. There's been no definitive consistent report or medical study that shows people consistently can quit smoking by using vaping devices. There's been studies that actually show people end up using more smoke, or then they're just hooked on the additives, the nicotine in the vape cartridges.
So are you surprised to hear about these 380 you are shaking your head no.
Yeah, this is and I don't mean to come off as I mean, we care for our patients. I'm heartfelt that teenagers or parents are going through this, or adults. And so we can't judge patients.
Right.
Patients may have an addiction or just a one-off use, so we have to help patients. But to sit here and say, well, you know, if you had smoked something that we don't know what's in it, or heat something up and we can't predict all the compounds that are going to come out of this down in your lungs, and we don't know how your lungs are going to react to it. I mean, we've seen this story before. It's called the tobacco industry. And, you know, the movie may end differently, but it ain't going to be good for the public, for teenagers, for people who have even if they don't have a lung disorder. Mm-hmm. So this is bad. I'm glad it's getting attention. I'm glad the FDA and the CDC are looking into this. But, you know, we're all paying for this. Yeah. If you have insurance, you're paying for this for when someone has a health condition. If patients are uninsured and have this condition, we're all paying for this. So we're all paying for this, but Juul isn't, Philip Morris isn't, Altria isn't. So, you know, we can't blame the victims. We can't necessarily blame the regulatory agencies when they've been fought in the courts. And it's the companies that have no interest in our health who are hurting our kids, our public, our neighbors, our family members, ourselves. So.
We're speaking with Dr. Patrick Weiss. He's a pulmonologist at St. Luke's. We're talking about vaping and the crisis potentially going on around it. So back in April, we talked with Dr. Bonnie Halpern-Flauscher. She is a researcher at Stanford, and she focuses on vaping. And in fact, during that interview, she says that the country has seen a dramatic increase in children and teenagers who vape in the last several years. According to her research, 1 in 5 high school students, 1 in 20 middle school students use e-cigarettes. Here's a clip from that interview back in April with her explaining why this dramatic rise happened.
I think that we weren't prepared for an onslaught of new products. We weren't prepared for these electronic cigarettes, and we certainly weren't prepared for how cool they were going to look to youth. We weren't prepared for the marketing, and then in particular also the flavors. They come in so many cool flavors and gadgets that we weren't prepared. And then you get Juul, which is one form of vapes, to come on the market the last couple of years. And those are very flashy, very cool to young people. And they also did some very even though they say they didn't, they did some youth-targeted marketing.
So Dr. Halpern-Felscher is one of the premier researchers in vaping and across the country. And would you say, Dr. Weiss, with patients that you've seen, are we seeing high schoolers, middle schoolers coming in and having issues?
Absolutely. I'm not a pediatrician.
Right.
I treat adult medicine, so 18 years and older. But yes, we're seeing it. And you talk to the teachers, you talk to the high school kids. If you ask them, it's out there. I mean, studies would even show that. There's been numerous studies like hers that have shown. I mean, back in 2011, they estimated 1.5% of teens, and now they estimate 20% of teens. And there's some studies that show that they've probably more than 50% have tried it at some point. And we know that early exposure to addictive drugs in a developing brain is not good. And we know that it can lead to further addiction or people then going on to smoke cigarettes. Preventing and talking about it with our teens. So whether it's at the dinner table or at the edge of the soccer field or at the dinner table, we got to have these conversations and just say, hey, have you thought about it, or are you trying it, or have you seen people? And there's a lot of online resources. Project Filter, Central Health District has sort of parent toolkits. NIH, CDC, they all have how to talk about any sort of addiction. with your, whether it be a family member or a teenager, to sort of start to talk about it. Because if we don't talk and don't ask, we're not going to be able to, you know, address it with teens.
And in fact, talking about addiction, when Dr. Halperin-Felscher was on the program, she actually talked about the addictive qualities. And she's done some research on that, too. So let's listen to what she had to say back in April about that.
The original vaping products, e-cigarette products that came out more around, well, in around 2007, but really became popular around 2014, they didn't have as much nicotine, but the products have equivalent to 1.5 to 2 packs of cigarettes per pod or per container of each of these. So youth don't know that, and parents certainly don't know that. And that's a
Definitely youth don't. If you look at studies and research, when students are asked, over half of them will say it's flavored. They won't cite the nicotine. So, and again, it's not actually the nicotine. Let's educate people on that. Nicotine is addictive. There are cardiovascular and pulmonary effects of nicotine, but it's the addictive properties and it's the byproducts that are in it, these polyethylene glycol, diacetyl. The reason I kind of shook my head before that, we've seen this. There's this thing called popcorn lung with diacetyl exposure, and there's diacetyl that can be given off in vaping. And so while we're seeing current traction with the CDC and FDA tracking these things, this has been, as the incidence has grown, we've been seeing this in both primary care ERs and lung clinics.
So even though, yes, the nicotine is there, and that is the addictive quality, and that is an issue, what I'm hearing from you is that it's all of these other components that probably make up the flavors and why
the
kids
flavors
and the
vaporizer.
Like,
we have to remember that our body was made or evolved to protect itself. So our upper airway and air passages can take out pollen, particulate matter. When you get something to the molecular level, that's a vapor. And some of these substances, they give a good vapor. So that's going to be nearly a liquid sort of flow of gas all the way down past your bronchial tubes into the alveoli, which are the air sacs, which is where we talk about a pneumonitis or a pneumonia. That's in the air sac level or the alveoli, not in the bronchial tubes. And so, but we see the whole spectrum of lung disease. And we see other people that they've had a mild underlying lung disease and now they're vaping or smoking something else. And now they've developed asthma or whatnot. And so.
So as you said, I mean, we've got to start the conversation and have it with our kids. So parents, what do parents need to bottom line know about vaping when it comes to their kids?
First of all, it's out there and kids have access to it. Okay. So there's vape hoodies. There's USB jump drives. There's a smartwatch that kids can vape out of, or anyone can vape out of, not just kids. But so it's not going to be in a pack of Lucky Strikes with a big cancer stick. It's going to be in something flashy. And these are marketed these ways to all consumers, including teens. And so it's out there. We have to talk about it. And that we don't know if it's safe long term. We don't know that. And now, unlike smoking, we're having, I mean, I never had a death from smoking. We're having death from
vaping.
From vaping products. And I think it's also a disservice. There's been some in the FDA and CDC reports, there are this dabbing, which is using CBD oil or another marijuana derivative or some other derivative in the vaping device. And there's some, but we don't know if that's the cause. And already talking with teenagers this weekend, they said, hey, they found out it's just the THC oil. No. I mean, the byproducts that are in the vaping products for nicotine devices, ENDS devices, is dangerous. They did studies I'm not a pediatrician, but they've done studies in pediatric kids collecting in their urine samples urinary carcinogens. We know from other occupational exposures with like aniline dyes and other things of people that get bladder cancer, we think about adults, but they're capturing these same sort of compounds because they're getting in through our lungs, and these are tiny compounds our body has to metabolize. So we don't know the long-term effects. And so the other thing I would say, if I'm probably not going to be a pulmonologist 20 years, 40 years from now, but there's going to be a group of doctors who are going to have to be treating chronic respiratory disorders at minimum from vaping. It's just we're seeing it already. If there's acute problems, we know there's going to be chronic problems. And we gotta protect the public, we gotta protect patients, and we gotta support patients. You know, all the healthcare systems in town have great nicotine tobacco cessation at St. Al's, St. Luke's. We have a great program run by Dr. Jen Schalls at St. Luke's. But primary care, your pediatrician, Project Filter, there's a lot of resources out there to help people.
You got to be talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about this, because as you said, this is not going away, but we've got to keep our kids safe as well as adults who are doing this. We've been talking with pulmonologist Patrick Weiss of St. Luke's, talking about vaping. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks.
Up next, who pays for Medicaid expansion? We're going to take a look at that. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.